This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Bud Light presents a Rivalry Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Nothing easier to enjoy than that. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy.
On 1080 The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it's not story time. It's Football Friday.
Maybe a mixture.
But whatever.
It's not Friday.
No, it's not.
Right. It's not.
How can it be Football Friday if it's not Friday?
That's true, too. So what are we even doing?
I don't know. It's a weekend Wednesday sort of feel, this whole thing. It's
Joey Harrington, everybody.
I'll tell you what we're doing. Here's what we're doing. Because I got a text last night saying that we might not talk on Friday.
Yeah.
Because of, like, some national conspiracy and, you know, all that stuff. And I said, I can't do that.
No.
Like, you have become a part of my not just my week, but my soul, my green couch.
A fabric, right? Of the community.
Amazing.
No. The fabric of the couch. Well, at least one of you is part of the fabric of the couch.
No, I'm
the other one just like, screw it. I'm going to go sit up in Bellevue. Actually, by the way, we never really did talk about it. Did that whole thing get resolved?
It actually did, believe it or not. My hatred of Audi of Bellevue led that, like, Joey jokingly said, you should go see the BMW of Portland people, because my Vancouver Ford, my guy, Monty, I haven't bought a car from anyone else in 20 years. He sold. So I don't have a car guy anymore. And Joey was like, you should actually go see the BMW of Portland people. And I was like, hey, if you were serious, give me a heads up. And Joey threw me the contact over there.
Laurel.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's give a little context here. Laurel Kessler is probably, okay, if we go Steve Prefontaine, Steve Prefontaine may not be the best athlete, because that Ashton Eaton is probably the best Oregon track athlete of all time. You know, if you hold the world record in the decathlon, like, you're technically the greatest athlete in the history of the world. So then, like, in terms of athletically, then maybe Steve Prefontaine. But, and then third after that would be Laurel Kessler, who is over there. Yeah.
And when I told her that she was about to encounter the fifth best 2001 center in college football, she was very impressed. And so I ended up going down there literally the next day after we had that conversation. And lo and behold, that was the first car that I've gotten a non-Ford from my guy in 20 years. And they were phenomenal. I do owe Joey Harrington, a gratitude.
What if Laurel Kessler suddenly becomes the new manager at Audi of Bellevue?
Well, then I hate to say it, but then the meteor will still have to hit it. Maybe she can be spared, but sometimes the world works out the way it's supposed to work out. So once again, Audi of Bellevue, kiss my ass. You can all go to hell. But it led me to the BMW of Portland people. It actually led me to Joey Harrington, to the BMW of Portland people, to Laurel, and could not have been nicer people.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I'm really happy to hear that. I'm happy that your non-green couch experience turned into a good auto experience.
And that is true. The reason I wasn't able to go on the green couch was I was at Audi of Bellevue with that whole mess. And that's how I was not able to attend the green couch. But now me and Joey, we share a different bond. We share a love, a special kind of automotive love that goes beyond green couches.
Okay. I have a Lions question.
Get ready to go.
Well, I was reading about the fact that Dan Campbell is 0-3 on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And then I read further in the story, and it said that the Lions are 5-17 in their last 22 on Thanksgiving. And I thought, wow, well, that's not really that shocking because the Lions used to suck.
Yeah.
But Campbell has them cooking, and he still doesn't win on Thanksgiving. So my question to you is, playing in Detroit and playing on Thanksgiving, is there something to that being a tough game to win, maybe because of all the hullabaloo families and stuff in Detroit around Thanksgiving, or is that just happenstance that Detroit has not had a good record on Thanksgiving?
I thought you were going to ask, what did it take to earn 20% of the Lions' victories on Thanksgiving in the last 22 years?
Yeah.
So you got one. You've told us that story before.
Yeah. One of them, yeah. No. Wait, I mean, no, I had one with the Dolphins. I mean, there's no story about the one for with the Packers. We just beat them. I didn't do anything to deserve it. But
at least you're honest.
Yeah. So what's the,
what's up with that? Is it hard? I mean, it's like, in other words, I'm looking for a betting angle tomorrow. It's Thanksgiving. I just want to bet on the game. It's the Lions and Bears. I don't really care, but maybe Joey says, hey, you know what? Always fade the Lions on Thanksgiving. I was there. I know it's a tough game to win for them for a lot of different reasons. Then I'm betting the Bears. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I don't think that's because it's just as tough for the Bears that are coming into town. Like it's a short week. It's an incredibly short week, and it's a weird week because of the holiday.
All right.
Man,
no betting.
I don't know. I don't think there's any real betting. If I was making a bet, I would bet on the Lions.
Well, and it's
simply because last year, I mean, think about this. Year one with Dan Campbell, Lions sucked. Right? They started like 1-73.
Yes,
like you know, year two they were a little bit. It wasn't until the end of last year. It wasn't until like December that they were really rolling, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like the Lions team that we're seeing now is the Lions team that is anywhere near the Lions teams that have played on Thanksgiving the three previous years with Dan Campbell. So there's your betting angle. Take the Lions.
Well, they were 8-2 last year, and they lost to Green Bay on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Although Green Bay was a good team, and Green Bay was an ascending team, too. I mean, Green Bay started cooking
problem,
at the end.
The problem was is they didn't cook a Thanksgiving meal while they were playing the game. That is the that is what guarantees the victory against Green Bay on Thanksgiving. That was I do remember, that's right. I did tell you the story of having a turkey in the oven while I was playing. Yeah, got it.
Is it one of those things now too with I mean everyone at this point is played on a Thursday. Is it any with the holidays, is it any different than a normal Thursday game? Because that always favors the home team, especially this late in the season.
You know what? Maybe okay, I'm trying to think. Like I'm honestly trying to think of like what was going on.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Maybe if you are playing at home on Thanksgiving, then you have family in town. Right. Then you have the holiday coming up. That like you have, if you're on the road, what do you got? You got know, you got the same hotel food
well,
that you're going to get.
This is what I was asking you.
There may be something there. Maybe on this Thursday, maybe the holiday Thursday, maybe it is a little, for the first time, maybe it takes away some of the advantage of playing at home.
A lot of distractions.
Okay, great. So go look at what's the Cowboys' record then? Because if you're, this is too circumstantial. Or this is too. I need more data points.
Yeah.
Right. I need a larger sample size. That's the word I was looking for. Because if this is going to be your hypothesis, then it has to be true across whether it's Detroit or Dallas or any home team on the NFL Network game.
Dallas,
right? Because that's.
I have the record here. They are 33-22-1 all time in their Thanksgiving Day games.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Your hypothesis sucks.
Yep.
So it's just not an angle. Detroit was bad.
Yeah.
And so you bet the Lions.
I just think anytime you're talking about this short week, there's going to be a massive advantage for the home team. It just is. It's Thursday football should be abolished. You constantly get bad games, and it's very hard. I mean, you get guys on Thursday that are just starting to walk from last week, and people don't realize those extra 2 or 3 days, what that does in recovery and making guys available.
Not only physically making them available, but I remember my first Thanksgiving game, we literally took the exact same game plan from the week before, and we just changed the cover on the binder and said, it's Patriots week now. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, this is exactly what we did last week. Like, there's no game planning for it. There's no, like, nope, just doing the exact same thing we did. That is so dumb. Yeah. So,
damn.
There you go.
Now, see, there's a betting angle. If I get that inside info, I'm betting against you.
Well, again, it's when you condense things, people like the NFL and college, everything is very routine. And when you eliminate a day, it's hard enough. You start taking away 2 and 3, and there's only so much. I mean, there just isn't enough time to do install and kind of get things ready like that, especially if you're playing a superior opponent like the damn Detroit Lions, whose offense at this point is unstoppable.
Okay. Oregon, Washington, they're playing. I don't know if you knew that.
They are.
Let's talk about it coming up next. It is not Football Friday, nor is it story time. I don't know what it is.
It's very awkward.
But it's great to have Joey Harrington here on the day before Thanksgiving. More with Joey next. On the fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, Oregon taking on Washington Saturday. We finally made it to Husky Week. It'll be here on the Fan, 4:30. I just counted up, I was looking back at the Ducks schedule, Joey, this is the 7th game that feels, and you may disagree with this, but it feels like this is the 7th time this year where we are discussing a game that really has very little juice and the Ducks should win by double digits and there really isn't a lot of doubt about that. Do you agree with that or is this different because it's the rival?
Yes. I have a hard, I just have a hard time admitting that, I think, is the biggest thing, especially after the last, I don't say 3 years, but it's 3 games over the last 2 years. Like, there has been so much riding on this game over the last couple years. And Washington has been so significantly better than they were for the previous, what, two decades? Mm-hmm. That it's hard to just, like, flip a switch and be like, oh, well, the Huskies stink again. Right? Like, yeah. I don't know. And our recent body of work, 16-13 against Maryland and a, you know, what was it, 20-17 or a squeaker against Wisconsin, it's not like we're blowing people out like we were weeks 5, 6, and 7.
Well, first of all,
should it be a 3-touchdown win? Yeah, it should.
Well, Maryland was 39-18.
Yeah.
And then the Wisconsin was 16-13, but
Wisconsin was 16-13. Yeah. I knew that. I was just making sure you guys knew that.
Yeah, you were testing us. Yeah. And we were on it. You know, we were on it. Damn. We're sharp.
Yeah. Because you have those computers in front of you.
Well, that's true. But it's the right. I mean, I was talking to a Big Duck fan who was like, man, this is such a huge game and you got to beat Washington. Lanning cannot be 0-4 against Washington. And I'm just, and I get that sentiment. But at the same time, I'm like, well, one, Washington's way down. New coach, different team. Two, you guys are undefeated. Doesn't even matter if you lose, really. You go into the Big Ten title game, you know, everything's right in front of you, and it's a bigger prize. So it kind of takes a little shine away from this matchup.
Yeah. I just don't want to admit to that.
Well, you don't have to.
You want to hold on to the Husky hate?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just feels like it's been a rebuild, right? For, like I said, for the better part of two decades, the Huskies were just like, you know, all right, it's fine. Ironically, you know, during that stretch, the Beavers were probably more often a better game. Yeah. And now it's like built back into something that, you know, God, they've got us the last three times, and now you just want to punch them in the face. And it's like, oh, man, like you're not even punching the same people in the face. Like, it's, you know, Kalen DeBoer, you can't punch him in the face, and you can't punch Michael Penix or any of the 22 starters from last year. Like, it's just like, all right.
It's funny. Go ahead.
Have you seen, I was going to say, you said Husky hate. Have you, you know who has held on to Husky hate?
Yeah, Puddles.
No, it's not Puddles, it's the Duck.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not just the duck. Yeah. I saw your tweet. I mean, I saw this.
Oh, it is my favorite week of the entire year, is the Duck on Twitter, and it is hilarious, absolutely hilarious. And by the end of the week, he's just going to start just popping them out like every 5 minutes. It is comedy all week long, and I love it.
Yeah. So what he's talking about is the Duck is on Twitter,
and he's going at Harry the Husky.
Yeah, he does it every year.
Yeah,
he goes right at Harry the Husky. Yeah. Now, the one that I saw that you were quote tweeting says, and this is the Duck writing to Harry the Husky on Twitter. He says, Harry the Husky only wears jerseys because he still hopes one day coach will say, you know what, Harry, you're in. And he'll be called in from the sideline without ever practicing with the team and score a touchdown. Like, bro, what do you think this is? Air Bud Golden Receiver? Do less. And you quote tweeted that with what?
Well, it's so out of character from all of his other,
I know.
Because they're all so simple. Like, it just starts like, Harry the Husky smells his own farts. Harry the Husky claps, you know, when it goes through TSA pre-check. Harry the Husky tells people about his Wordle streak. Harry the Husky isn't brat. Like, and they're just some of the most, like, the trendy, like, it's just perfect for what the Duck is. And then he throws out, like, a freaking, you know, a sonnet out there, like a giant essay paper. I was like, this is a little bit off brand here.
It's almost
like
someone else took control of the account for like 5 minutes, and then the other guy came and said, nah, that's not good.
Some of them, Harry the Husky listens to Talk Tua. Harry the Husky puts eyelashes on his car's headlights. Harry the Husky offers warm pocket candy he offers warm pocket candy to strangers. I enjoy this one. He orders chicken fingers at Italian restaurants. I love that. Harry the Husky claps at TSA pre-check. Yeah, can't tell the difference between Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth. Still brags about his Wordle streak.
Confuses Bluey and Paw Patrol.
Yeah, Paw Patrol. Harry the Husky doesn't RSVP, but shows up anyways. Yeah, he does. He has nice ones. Thinks Mudang is a brand of chocolate milk. But you're right. They're all just nice little one-liners, and then we get to go on the great bit. It is well. I'm glad that the duck is keeping it alive, because I've got a friend who's diehard Husky. He went there, kid went there, wife went there, and I've got a diehard Duck fan. And I've talked to both of them, and like neither one of them really cares. Like both sides have kind of done they've just like capitulated. They're like, hey, well, you know.
Is that just because Oregon's so good this year?
I think Washington knows what's coming, and I think Oregon doesn't, as Joey said, it's not, this isn't the revenge. It doesn't feel, if DeBoer was still here, I think this would feel different. But now you're just beating up on Jed Fish, and Jed Fish didn't wrong you. He hasn't done anything to piss you off yet. So it's not even the right revenge. And so it just kind of ends up being a weird thing.
But I think that speaks more to what is happening in college football, yeah. Right? The reason you don't have all 22 starters, yeah, sure, you lost a few to the draft, but the majority of them transferred somewhere else, yeah. Right? Your coach just picked up and left to go somewhere else. Like, it's just, we're not even in the same conference, you know, yeah. In the Pac-12 anymore. Like, yeah. there's just all these weird things going on with college football that it's just like, yeah, we're all trying to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, you know, Jabbar Muhammad played for the Huskies last year.
That's right. One of the Huskies is on our team. Like, that's just weird.
Right? I mean, Dylan Gabriel was playing in the Red River Rivalry last year, and now he's in this, and it's just, I'm with you. I the new brand of college football, it's great. The playoff is great. The regular season's been great, but this game...
Well, it's hurting rivalries.
There's no doubt about that.
What is, outside of Kenny Wheaton, what is another big, awesome Joey Harrington Duck Husky moment that you... that's one of your favorites? Not, doesn't have to include you. I just mean one of your favorite moments from Ducks Huskies.
Oh, Jonathan Stewart in Seattle. Jonathan Stewart, I mean, dude ran for like 720 yards in and 17 touchdowns in Seattle. A guy from Washington, Oregon, going up into Husky Stadium and absolutely just like running down their throat. That's one that I remember. Yeah, that was, I think that's a pretty good one. I like that one.
It's a good poll. I'm trying to look at what year. There's
also, I mean, I only played the Huskies one time, and that was when they were number 6 in the country and came into Autzen, and I had a pretty marvelous day of about 172 yards passing and maybe a touchdown, but when you have Mo Morris behind you and a defense that played out of their minds, we knocked them off. So, yeah. There, I don't have a whole lot of great me memories, like personal memories, but that Jonathan Stewart game was great. It really was.
It's such a weird rivalry too, because you know, growing up in the area, dude, Oregon was nothing. Washington just kicked the hell out of them, and then it got flipped in the 90s, and then you guys went on that run where it was like a 20-year run where. What was it? How many did you win? Like 17 out of 28? What was it?
The 20 years prior to the pick.
Yeah.
Washington was 17-3 against Oregon.
Yeah.
In the 20 years after the pick, Oregon was 16-4 against Washington.
Yeah.
Like it is two completely lopsided 20-year stretches, and I've never seen anything like that in a rivalry before.
No, and it was so strange because, like, you know, last year and last 2 years, right, Washington gets them, and Washington goes and plays for a national title, and it was so short-lived, and we don't know, maybe Jed Fish will rise again, but going into the new conference, like, maybe there was an idea. If I told you that, hey, they're joining the Big Ten, and one team had beaten the other 3 times in a row and had played for a national title, you kind of thought that maybe this would be Washington being here, but... I mean, we got Oregon, the only undefeated team left in the country, and you know, Washington 6-5 and is going to the Sun Bowl or whatever. It's just, it's odd how quickly things changed. That one program, and I guess Oregon didn't really rise up. It's just been a steady climb, whereas Washington kind of had a blip on the radar and now is kind of fallen back into somewhat obscurity. But you know, things can change in college football.
Huskies have had a pretty wild ride, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yes.
From all the way back in the 90s where they were awesome.
Yes.
And then just the doldrums.
Mm-hmm.
And then
0-12 or 0-11.
Yeah.
And then back up to almost winning it all and playing Michigan. By the way, that game, Saturday, October 20, 2007, Oregon beat Washington 55-34. Now, this is back when the rivalry game was not at the end of the year. It was middle of the season, obviously, yeah. October 20.
Right. And
that's the one. It's weird that it's at the end of the year now.
Jonathan Stewart, 32 rushes, 251 yards, ooh, and two titties. Sure. And then Andre Crenshaw also had 100. My God, Andre Crenshaw had 113 yards rushing, and Dennis Dixon rushed for 99 yards in that game.
No, they ran 500 yards rushing on him.
Yes.
Yeah, we literally ran the ball down the throat that day.
All right.
Yeah.
What time you start drinking?
And their mascot sucks, so there you go.
Yeah, and I was looking at Harry the Husky's Twitter. He doesn't clap back at all. Like,
no.
He's just...
It's just, well, mm-hmm, he is a dog, so...
Yeah. The duck's great. Yeah. The duck's... He does a good job. Okay, what time do we start drinking tomorrow? What time does Joey crack the first one? Probably an old-fashioned.
No. Depending on, Emily and her sister and some friends usually run the turkey trot, and so then we'll come back here for like a little brunch kind of thing. So it used to be like when, you know, you come back for brunch, turn the Lions on, and then depending on like how emotional I was feeling or like about watching the Lions play, whether it was like, I hate those guys, then it would start earlier than it did. Mm. You know, or earlier than it normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's kind of a play-it-by-ear thing, depending on how, how much PTSD I'm getting from watching the Lions play on Thanksgiving.
Why don't you turkey trot?
I can't, because I can't trot, let alone turkey trot.
What about you trot?
What about a shuffle? What about a turkey waddle?
I'm on my third knee surgery in 3.5 years. I'm still trying to just make this thing work, all right? You know what it's like, so just back off, all right?
I can assure you every year I plan on running a marathon and then, you know, or hood to coast, and then, you know, there's extenuating circumstances. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm planning. I'm planning. It's,
look. Yeah. I'm just trying to carry my own golf bag again. All right, if I can just walk and carry my own golf bag, it'll be a big victory. So
that's what push carts are for. I love my Click Gear. Thing's great.
So what do you, if you decide to drink? Let's say you are getting the PTSD from the line. What are you cracking? Like, what does the day go? How does your drinking day go?
Yeah. Well, you can't start with an old, you know, like a 10:30 old fashioned.
So
it's like a mimosa.
Mimosa.
Yeah, you'd probably have to start in that realm, and then probably go to a midday old fashioned, and then for like dinner, like
wine.
You know, you have to start working into like the Oregon Pinots, and John Elliott and I have kind of been trading back and forth a little bit, like, you know, so he sent me some French stuff and I sent him some Oregon stuff, and so I'm gonna, you know, open up one of those at dinner time, and then maybe you circle back to the old fashioned at the end of the night, and then, you know, maybe or maybe not wake up the next morning feeling, you know, like you should go Christmas tree chopping.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a good little...
You cut down the tree, you still do the old school?
Good little plan.
We usually go on Saturday of Thanksgiving week to go cut the tree down. Oh, yeah.
I used to do that with the little kids, and we don't anymore because the kids are all old and gone and stuff, but I do miss that. That was one holiday tradition that, being the dad, I always appreciated, and then when the kids got old enough and they were able to cut the tree, and I always enjoyed that. That was one of those, like, a proud father moment.
There you go. Yeah, that's... That's a good Thanksgiving weekend right there.
Do you judge us fake tree people?
Do I judge you?
Mm-hmm.
That's yes. No, because you're from Kansas, right? So there's...
What does that mean?
There's no trees.
Well, because if you're from the Pacific Northwest...
We have trees.
And yeah, but not real Christmas trees. I'm sorry. The only real Christmas trees in this country come from the Pacific Northwest and from North Carolina. That's it. Look, it's science, okay? It's science. So if you're from North Carolina or you're from the Pacific Northwest and then voluntarily choose. So how about this? My first year in Detroit, I came back I came back every Thanksgiving, most Thanksgivings. But we did our Christmas tree chopping on that weekend before I flew back. I was like, man, I can't get a tree out there to save my life. And so I actually cut one down and then I bound it up and then shipped it back to Detroit.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Had an Oregon noble fir for my Christmas tree back in Detroit.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool. By the way, that's some that's some power quarterback move right there. I'm not shipping trees.
What'd that cost you?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It was a little more than I expected, but not outrageous.
Right,
and actually, that was my second year because the first year I realized I couldn't get any decent Christmas trees in Detroit and they were too expensive. So, you know.
Right. Well, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
I will.
Yeah.
I will. You enjoy yours and let me know how that Lions bet goes.
Yeah, I'm not betting it. I was looking for an angle, but I'll just drink. I'm going to start early.
Yeah.
I don't need to bet. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
See you guys.
Yeah. Joey Harrington.
That is kind of how my you see that is my drinking day, but you mixed in like and then I switch over to Coors.
Mm-hmm.
So I always
Coors
start
Light, or Banquet.
Banquet. I go.
Well, can we just since we're way over, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
This is something that needs to be discussed
because I have a kind of set routine.
Yeah, I think I know exactly. Yeah. In my head, I have a game plan.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, there's a play. The playbook is large, but I shrink it down for Thanksgiving, and I generally know what I'm doing. I'm prepared.
You got to be ready to audible, though. I mean, stuff happens.
No question.
Red panties, red panties.
As a matter of fact, I have an audible in about an hour.
Oh, I love it.
So we'll talk Turkey Day next in the club. Joey's appearance is here on The Fan, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here. We'll be right back on The Fan.